In the year 2517, on the planet of Aradnus, Dr. Catherine Halsey encounters a child of 6, a head taller than his peers, who is quicker, faster, stronger, of keen intellect, and incredible luck during a scouting mission. Later that same year, she would abduct him and 149 other children, recruiting them into the Spartan II program. Renamed John 117, this child would eventually grow up to earn all but one of the UNSC's medals over 30 years of service as the legendary Master Chief. Welcome back to Legends and Lore. I'm your host, Ren Azuo, with my fellow lore keeper, Tom Sweeney. In this episode, we have the only guest worth having in any Halo episode ever, Chris Reagan.
Hidden experience. Oh, wait, what?
He's going to be like, what'd you say? I don't know about Halo. I'm from Britain.
Yeah, no, thanks for pinging me to do this.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you on.
Unfortunately, yet again, me and Chris are working together again on something again, unfortunately.
It's terrible.
So. God damn it. God damn it. What if I pulled out a gun and like did that thing that like that congressman did?
At that thing with the person where he took that gun and did that act.
You remember that thing where he was like, we're getting off topic, never mind.
I totally mispronounced the fucking planet that Chief is from, you? Actually. Yeah, I can't say these made up words.
I don't think they've ever said it in like any kind of media.
I always read it that way, and then I look back and I'm like, oh wait, that's not how it said. It's, I think it's Aridness to
whatever,
but whatever it is, it doesn't matter because he was only there for 6 years until he was shamelessly abducted in the night and replaced with a sickly clone
that died like a week later, and his parents went through fucking warning because Halo is full of villains. It is full of, even you got to understand that. Before we get into this, all right, I love Master Chief. As living with Halo, Chris for like almost 10 years, being friends with him for like nearly 15, like we went through loving Halo together for years. But everyone in Halo is a villain. That is just, it's a jamboree full of bad guys.
It's true. It's true. Even when you're like, there's those moments in, I think it's Reach. Where they'll have Halsey on there and make her look kind of like sympathetic. And she's kind of like, you know, she has this soft expression where she's like, oh, hi, George. And then you're like, don't, you kidnapped that motherfucker. You kidnapped him.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Halsey is like a really like crazy fucking character. Like, cause when you got the, if you got the legendary edition of Halo Reach, it came with her journal and it's like all this like really interesting shit. Just about like just the game of King of the Hill they used to like determine like who were like the best like children. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's really dark and fucking villainous. But it's a very strange situation. And I think it's like one of the most interesting aspects of Halo that they never really touch on is the fact that like without that cruel villainy, everyone would be dead.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like it's a very interesting, like, morally gray situation where it's like, ah, fuck.
Do you think someone else would have done it if Chief didn't do it? Or, like, you think, like, without Chief, you're like,
No, what I mean is, like, just the fact that, like, kidnapping children to do that shit in the first place.
Yeah.
No, they're fine.
You know,
they don't know right from wrong yet.
The journal is really cool because you could see in the journal, she has, like, these notes and stuff where she's clearly agonizing over, like, the moral dilemma from time to time. And then she'll be like, all right, enough of that. Let's go torture some children. Let's go put them through some boot camp tests that usually men don't go through until they're 20, you know?
Until they're 20. Let's go send these kids. It's literally like Witcher shit, like actually.
Yeah.
It's just Witcher, but it's science fiction and instead of fantasy. Like Halsey, like there are moments I feel bad for, like moments I like empathize for, and I'm like, you know what? She went through a lot. She lost her arm. You know, I think her daughter dies, right? Doesn't her daughter get killed?
Yeah,
her
daughter.
Her daughter's Miranda.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, oh man. And then I'm just like, no, what am I saying? She's a demon. She's a monster.
I think
John can't get boners.
There's also like a really fucked kind of subtext to it where like she cares more about the Spartan children that she abducted than her own daughter.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't really give a shit about Miranda at all.
She's like, I wish I had been closer to Miranda, but I'm not.
You know, I'm not, and I'm never gonna be. And I think, I'm okay with the fact I'm not.
I think she even has more genuine human emotion directed towards Cortana than she does towards. And then John is like her favorite for some reason, but I think that might be because I think in the books he's the first one they visit, even though he's not the first one they abduct. I think he's the first one they visit.
Mm-hmm. I think it's something like that.
Yeah,
but.
I can't get over how fucking horrible that whole situation is.
But she was commissioned by Oni to do it. And then, you know, after it all comes out, how this happened, everything, Oni's like, oh man, Halsey's terrible. Look what she did. That's, man.
Yeah. Oni's fucked. Oni's extra fucked.
So bad, and no one's talked. We haven't gotten to them yet in the world, which makes me really sad because I'm pretty sure if Bungie would have stayed, that would have been the idea of 4. Mm. Like, 4 would have started into, like, now the Covenant sucks dick, but the human settlements are pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider the fact that, like, they weren't even abducted and turned into super soldiers to fight aliens. That wasn't even like the purpose.
Yeah,
like they were literally just created to thwart human rebellion. They were literally just authoritarian space cops. It's like literally their entire purpose.
They were there to put down uprisings.
They were just there to kill average, everyday, normal ass human people. Like, and then it just so happened that
the freaking Covenant came.
Yeah,
and it just happened to come in handy. So nice. Like, they weren't even created with that express purpose, which could potentially like grant a little bit more moral favor to Halsey. Like, oh, we got an alien thing. We got to fucking fight the aliens. No, it's just, you know, some yokel on a farm with a gun. It's like we need RoboCop to come in and get into mushroom paste.
We need these child soldiers to deal with this shoplifter. And it's just like, what are you talking about?
It is basically what it
imagine thawing out Captain America to go like just waffle stomp some farmer out in the country
just to go beat up somebody from BLM. Could you imagine Captain America defrost a fucked up some fucking Antifa guys? He's like, I don't think I'm the right choice.
Because I mean, that's realistically what Chief is. He's Captain America in Iron Man's armor, and they engineered him to go fight farmers, and it was just this happy little accident that their illegal program resulted in being able to actually fight the Covenant instead of just getting completely rolled.
Yeah,
was one of the biggest things was actually. We beat some Covenant. They beat some Covenant, and actually they took their tech and they figured out shield tech.
Yeah.
And that accelerated like humanity, like years and years. We were not even close to developing that shit. And then we were like, oh, look at this. Sick. We could now prevent us from getting shot by ballistics and lasers. And it's
they reverse the engineered. Like, I think even in there's two recent Halo Infinite marketing things, these like new like live action trailers that shows like Marines talking about like, hey, this is like what we did to like secure the tech for the energy shields, and this is how like we built the grapple shot or whatever. And it's all really genuinely good marketing. It's like really cool. It reminds me of Believe.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like those museum ads.
It's very good happenstance.
Yeah, but like I think just that fact that they just like reverse engineered all this, they weren't even remotely prepared. I think in the books, like in the proper lore, like plasma, like one plasma bolt will fuck you to death.
Yeah, man. It just eliminates.
It'll
a person.
Burn.
Just...
It'll burn you away
from an energy
like,
pistol,
and it won't. And it doesn't stop where it shoots you. It'll feed through like most of your body until it dissipates on itself.
Yeah,
and it's terrifying, dude.
Yeah, it's scary. Like in some of the books, like I remember like some excerpts where like people were like struck with plasma, and it's like it's not a pretty. It doesn't like just make you glow a little bit like it does in the game.
Like the plasma grenades, they go through the shields by melding into you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you can't take it off. It melds past your shield into your armor.
Yeah, that's why they're sticky grenades. They sink into your flesh and bone and then explode. It's like really fucking terrifying.
You imagine being just some new recruit Marine out on this like outer world, and you're fighting these Covenant, and you're seeing like guy after guy get mowed down with plasma bolts, just huge softball or basketball size holes bored right through them. And then this dude in power armor walks up and he's taking like 12 or 15 of these things just right to the face, doesn't care, and then beats a grunt to death with his rifle.
there was this time where back in our apartment, me and Chris looked up the size of grunts.
They're big.
We were just depressed. They're like 5'6". They can't walk through human doors.
Yeah.
They can't walk through like regular doors. They're like giant.
They're surprisingly big.
Like, I don't know anyone that could kill a grunt. I really don't think I could find someone that can kill a grunt.
No. No, they're really strong. They got like arms on them too. That like that's why they like throw grenades at like 10, like across football fields and shit. It's like they're strong, man. Like they're no joke. Like every single enemy in Halo is hilarious because you look at them and you're looking at them from the perspective of this character who's like 7 feet tall and he's like covered in power armor. It's like, aha, a jackal. How funny. A jackal walks up to you in real life, you're fucking shitting yourself. It is a tall, lanky, disgusting creature.
It's like a bird. It's like a bird dinosaur person. And if you encounter an elite can kill a building full of people probably fine.
Just by himself. Just no problem.
Like one San Healy could probably beat a whole squadron of Marines.
Yeah.
Bewildering. It's only one San Healy.
I wanted to go back to something you mentioned earlier about how everyone is a villain in the Halo universe. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking about it like, if that applies to certain characters like Master Chief, and I think maybe it does up to a certain extent, because
absolutely, I love him.
I was thinking about when he was, I want to say he was 12 or 15 or something like that, and he's in one of the ships in like their little training room that they have, like their little rec room, and a bunch of ODSTs walk in. And the ODSTs have this kind of like grudge thing going with like the Spartans and everything. And he ends up fucking up a squad of ODSTs as a kid. Like, I think he legit ends one of them.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were like, they were bullying him in the locker room or something, right? It was like something like that.
I want to say it was in like their like he was in a training thing, like they were in like a ring or something like that. And
he
kills one of the ODSTs.
He fucks up one of them, and then the rest of them dogpile on. And he beats all of them. And supposedly that's the reason why in the lore, ODSTs are supposed to like always be salty with Spartans, because they all know the story of when one Spartan fucked up a bunch of them. And it was Chief.
Do you remember? I forgot what's the name of the ODST, the one Spartan 2 in ODST. But do you see the side? I forgot what's his name, Chris?
What are you talking about? The one Spartan 2 in Reach, you mean?
In Reach, yeah.
George.
Who's winning again? George, right?
George.
Do you see the size of him compared to regular people?
Like, even compared to like Spartan 3s, he's gigantic.
I was so thrown off by just how much bigger he was. I was like, why is he big like that? Yeah. Like, he's just huge, just walking around.
Yeah.
And it's
I can imagine.
They get these like peak specimen people who have like one or two like really good talents, but across the board, they're still way above average, and then they inject him with all these chemicals, beef him up even more.
And they put cybernetics in him,
beef him up more. Slap him in power armor, beef him up more. And that's how you get someone like George and Master Chief. There's that video where I can't remember if it's Halo 4 or I think it's 4, where Master Chief comes in. And he's finally going to take the armor off, and he walks past Sarah Palmer, and like this big compared to him. And she's not short. She is not a short woman. She is
Palmer's like 5'9". Like, she's a regular size woman.
Yeah. So when you meet her for the first time and she's like, I thought you'd be taller. I'm like, bitch, like, are you for real
that
right
is,
now?
That is one of the, cause I think that is Halo 4, but I'm trying to remember like whether or not that was like because a lot of Halo 4 is trippy because not a lot of the imagery is literal, and that's like it is a really like confusing game for that reason. Like
what do you mean not all the imagery is literal?
Because, like, in the beginning of the game, you see a bunch of Spartans come down, like, to fight a bunch of elites in, like, some city. But, like, they're all in, like, Halo 4 era armor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's literally just an asset thing. It's, like, that's not what they were wearing. It's,
yeah, they wouldn't have been wearing that armor when that happened. Yeah.
But at the end, I know specifically, like, that it's a specific allusion to that line. It's, like, I thought you'd be taller.
Yeah.
Where, like, at the end, he's portrayed as, like, gargantuan. He's not actually that much bigger, but it's, like, supposed to be, like, the feeling in that moment where he's, like, this fucking towering creature.
Wouldn't do with that guy, man. I wouldn't. Chief is insane. In the book, in the kind of games, he's crazy. But, dude, in some of the books, he's, like, literally doom. He's, like, doom to them. Like, the freaking grunts are, they call him demon for a reason. Like, he is.
They all call him demon.
Yeah, because he blew up that first ring, you know. But
yeah.
He's like, you allowed the demon to escape?
What do you mean allowed? I threw everything I had at him. He just kept coming. They're, I didn't yelling allow at
Arbiter.
Shit.
Arbiter's like, bro, did you see him? Like, I could probably maybe kill him, but no, none of you guys can.
I love that. I love that line in Halo 2 where it's like, the demon is here. He's like, it's very clearly incensed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a... That's a weird situation, though, because he was being dogpiled. He's a child being dogpiled by, like, a bunch of, like, full-grown-ass Marines.
Yeah.
Just, like, what did they do? Like, I don't know. At that point, it's like, I give him a pass for that one.
Like,
but...
look, he's a kid. You know, like, because, like... He's a kid, you know? Like, even if this kid has super strength, we can still throw it around, you know? It might be able to outmaneuver sometimes.
I always imagined him as a kid who had to be taught certain things that some other kids don't have to be, because his first tests when he's recruited, he's all about himself. I win. I got there first. I did this. And they're really trying to impress on him the whole, like, oh, teamwork thing. And he has to learn that. So his empathy for other people and other Spartans and all that is like a learned behavior that he got drilled into him through boot camp, which is interesting because it sticks. It works. Like, you can see in I think it was the recent trailer for one of the Halos. I can't remember which one it was, where there's like this crazy decompression and he's just pushing alien bodies out of the way. But he finds a human body and he's like respectful with it. Like, he kind of takes it and sets it aside and then continues on. So it's like that training obviously did work, but it's kind of messed up that he didn't come equipped with it initially. You know,
that makes sense.
Yeah. He's also just glorified military equipment. And I think he's like kind of aware of that.
Yeah. He's aware that he's property.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really fucking, interesting. Like, as much as Halo 4 is like fucky in my opinion, like, it does a really good job at the end where it like kind of like drills, kind of, it kind of opens that question where it's like, is he like fully aware of his situation?
And like, Lasky has like, to explain it to him.
Yeah And like, if you're like kidnapped when you're 6 and just trained from 6 years old to be a killer, and that's all you do, like, are you even capable of understanding that that's not how everybody exists? Like, are you capable of understanding that that's not normal?
Yeah.
Like, in any real way that it would actually impact. Like, are you emotionally mature enough to handle that? And it's like, that shit's so cool, especially when you consider just, like, the fact that, like, that armor is insane. Like, the Mjolnir armor, like, there's a scene in The Fall of Reach in the book where a normal person is operating that armor. And the weight and the speed of it crushes the guy in it.
Yeah,
it tear his leg up. His leg gets like ripped apart.
He gets,
or his arm.
I can't remember what happened. I think it's his arm gets like,
he gets mangled.
I think it shatters his arm.
Yeah, because it takes the input and then amplifies it. So it's not just the armor doing all the work like it would with, say, Iron Man, but it's like, there's a certain amount of control that comes from the person. And if the person can't handle the stresses or the torque that comes from it, just, it messes them up. So following the Iron Man analogy, it's like that guy in the test video in Iron Man 2, where the armor just does like a full 180 and snaps that dude in half. It's like,
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
That's so wild. It's such a fucking, crazy thing.
And he sleeps in it.
Yeah. He sleeps in it.
During orbital drops, he'll sleep in his armor until he gets to his destination. And then, okay, it's time to go. We're on mission. Let's go.
You can lock it up. Like in the beginning of 3, you can just lock it up and survive re-entry.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just crash somewhere.
He surfed on a Forerunner door from outer space and landed and lived.
Africa. He landed somewhere in Africa and he was fine.
It's insane. It's the fact that falling damage was ever a thing in that game, it kind of blows my mind.
I think that scene is because of the fact that there was falling damage. I think that whole scene was trying to incentivize that's not in the game anymore. Trust me, you're fine if you fall down five places.
Well, yeah. Well, the design decision to cut fall damage in 2 was actually like a late thing. Like,
was it? Was?
Yeah, they did that later. Like, it was just a purely multiplayer thing where they were like, we have these like really tall maps and we want people to be able to like jump and shit. So like, you know, it was like a purely design decision, but it's amazing how those games like just sort of like you could throw that story together. You know, it makes sense that in Halo 2 he would be taking all these ridiculous falls because there also just happens to be this completely unrelated design decision that just so happened to like work. It's like lightning in a bottle several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
2 is special. It's situation.
Well, 2 is like chock full of lore. Like it's like the most rich.
2 is very dense for lore. I really like it. I mean, you can get a good amount of lore in some of the other ones. Like in Reach has got some decent lore, but Reach is the kind of like lore that punishes you for not knowing the other stuff. It's not lore like on its face
backwards.
That's valuable
like
to you. It's like, I get that because I read the books, but if you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's all really abstract. It's like, the stuff in Reach is like the assembly, and it's like the assembly is fucking cosmic. Like, you don't need to know. There's no, the assembly has no bearing on anything in the Halo universe.
And
they exist, and you're not supposed to know that.
Yeah, and then there's 4 and 5 have the same kind of problem because you get Blue Team back, and I was like stoked when Blue Team comes in and you get to see some interaction. But then like I can't remember, I was like maybe a few missions in and I realized, I was like, wait a minute, most they haven't bothered to in this game explain who these people actually are. Or what they mean to each other. So
yeah, you know about Blue Team from reading lore cards in like fucking 3 and shit. You know?
So it's very difficult over the course of the game to actually get attached to these other characters or get involved with them because they didn't spend any of the story of the game telling you why Master Chief cares about Kelly or Linda or Sam. Like why does he care? They don't even bother.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if you didn't read the books, fuck you. Like.
It's a bad idea, like, because especially somebody who like primarily plays the games, you know, like you want to if you're introducing characters from the books, you have to do it in a way that's introductory. Like, I'm sorry, like I get that, like, oh yeah, this exists and you know there are books, but I didn't read many of the books after Fall of Reach. I know what happens in them because I have friends who read them and I asked them to tell me, but.
Yeah. I've read a few of them, but I don't keep up with all the Halo books because some of them are decidedly less well written than others. I'll say I don't want to say they suck, but
and some of them are just too in the weeds with stuff that I prefer not to know. Like there's a lot of stuff like about the Forerunner.
Yeah,
there's a whole Forerunner trilogy of books that's supposedly like really good, but also like. I don't want to know that necessarily. Like, I feel like the Forerunners are interesting because they're entirely mysterious. And I feel like pulling the veil back on them just makes it so you have to have a new mystery, but you can't outshine that mystery that's already there.
Yeah.
Because you've built it up for so long.
And that's that's where you get your precursors from. And the precursors don't feel nearly as cool as the Forerunners did before you knew about the Forerunners. You know what I mean?
Right.
I understand that. For me, the opposite is like, I hated the idea of Blue Team existing at all. Like, they should have stayed top wherever the fuck they were. I tell Chris this every time we talk about Blue Team. Because the idea of Chief is the generalist, you know. He's the generalist, the more the overall. He's like the Ryu, you know, of the team. You know, he's like, I can do everything pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they're supposed to be specialists on that team. And if a team of specialists, like Chief by himself has single-handedly decimated the Covenant.
All right, so you know what? You know what? Chief's
idea of a blue team.
You know what Chief's specialty is? You know what Chief's specialty is?
Plot armor. Plot armor. He's no, the luck. He's the luckiest man ever.
It is literally luck. It is literally luck. It because Halsey tests him for it, and the probability in which he can predict things defies like algorithmic calculations and stuff.
Plot, bro.
Yeah, so he literally has the power of plot, but it's defined as... And then later they're like, oh, he has a DNA thing from the Forerunners. It's a
it's evolution. It's evolution.
He has...
That I make fun of all the time.
He has a Gius, which is supposed to be this thing that kind of like helps... sort of bend shit around you, you know,
yeah, it's,
in
it's
your
like
favor.
It's like an imprint. I think that's actually like not necessarily true. Like I remember reading about that, and I like there's a specific YouTuber called I think his name is Halo Cannon,
mm-hmm.
And he does like really good stuff. And I remember when that theory came about, there's very little to support it. It's just an idea. It's like a theory that could potentially exist, but I don't think it's actually the case. I don't think he's actually like. The Didact, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think that's a real.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that in the books they have this luck thing. They talk about the luck thing, and
they
then
because it's the coin game, right?
Yeah, the coin game, and then I think there's something else that they did, and then later in one of the games they talk about how he has a Gius in him, like he has that imprint. So it's like I think it's just a connection that people make, like, oh, this is the special thing they mentioned here, and this is the special thing they mentioned here. It must be the same special thing. But
yeah.
Maybe not.
But it is purely luck, though. Like, he is a lucky fucking bastard.
It's uncanny. And
it's uncanny. Like, even in Halo 2, like, there are so many moments in Halo 2 where he should be dead. Like, he should be a dead person.
Yeah.
But he's the luckiest fucking person. Like, he rides a bomb through space into the engine core of a fucking Covenant cruiser.
And he fucking kickflips off of it.
yeah, starts the timer up without knowing how much time is left on it, by the way. Nonchalantly kicks off it in the nick of time, flies through space, and lands pinpoint... on to the Inamberclad as it's entering Earth's atmosphere. And then...
and for my next trick...
Yeah, and for my next trick, I will, like, just barely make it through this slipspace portal that this Covenant cruiser with the Prophet that we're trying to kill is on, just as it closes, wiping out an entire city that we just left behind. And then I'm going to kill the Prophet...
Or my final trick.
And then single-handedly run away from a glassing beam, dive into the water, and be saved by an ancient alien parasite. And then...
I'm gonna befriend.
And then I'm going to be teleported by that ancient alien parasite into the ship where the other Prophet is
that I need to kill.
That I need to kill.
And then more. There's way more.
This is the only lore that anyone's ever gonna need. We got a full timeline of Chief now set up
then,
by Chris.
No, there's so much more. And then his freaking CPU is going to get left there, slightly convince and can subdue this space rending monster. Like, then he's going to become best friends with this warrior freaking jihadist samurai that's going to help save his life later on. Then he's just not going to, he's going to defeat all the Flood. He just keeps winning.
And that's why he keeps trying these crazy stunts, and people look at him like he's insane, and he's like, no, trust me, this always works out for me. Like, really, it always works out.
Like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
I got this, dude. And, like, I've done this.
And some people are like, oh, well, part of that is Cortana. Part of that is because he's got Cortana helping him out. And it to an
it is totally like a lot to do with Cortana. Like, yeah. Like Cortana is built partially with the understanding of foreigner tech that, like, a lot of other AI is not equipped to handle, because she was created by Dr. Halsey on Reach in that secret lab, or like in part, under that secret lab in Reach that you actually go to excavate Halsey's data.
Yeah.
And you see she's like running tests on this foreigner thing that's like under the surface of Reach. And like, so this is an AI that like has encountered this shit before, that understands what it is.
Yeah, like you first show up, she's like, oh yeah, let me just hack that real quick. Yeah, I'll like get right on that.
Dude, the human race has no idea what the fuck Forerunner shit is until like Halo CE, really. Like, you have like incidents in Halo Wars where like the Spirit of Fire encounters like you know, obviously this Forerunner shield world, and they get like lost in space and time. Like they just get like fucking frozen because they don't contribute to the war at all for those like several decades. They're in cryosleep the entire time. So they encounter the Flood and the Forerunners, but they can't tell anybody about it. So your first encounter with this shit, really, is in Combat Evolved. And you're like, what the fuck is that? Is a ring world?
Are we on? So the Halo that the Spirit of Fire is on, is that the Halo we're on in Infinite? Yeah. That's the same one.
If I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, the Spirit of Fire is on the Ark. They're fighting.
Oh, it's
Atriox
on the Ark now. But
they're fighting Atriox. Yeah, that's what's happened. They're in Wars, right? They're in Wars 2.
They're in Halo Wars 2. They're fighting Atriox on the Ark, which is the installation that you go to in Halo 3 with the sandy.
Didn't someone pop through to one of the rings, though? Like,
yeah,
the team.
Wait, the scientist Anders, okay. I think, was on the Ark, and I think got transported onto the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ring got pulled out of orbit by Cortana because she was like assembling all the rings, and so she was just trapped there.
Yeah,
you know. So presumably,
she went Coco. She went Cuckoo, right?
Yeah,
that's where she lost it. Gotcha.
Yeah, but so that is Zeta Halo Installation 07. That is the oldest Halo ring. That is where the Flood were originally stored. That is where ancient humans were sent to live.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's a big. That's an important place, Zeta Halo. It's fucking crazy.
It's a major plot point.
Yes. Zeta Halo's crazy.
So the thing is, that is Cortana around?
So the big mystery point right now is, like, they're starting off. There's a new AI.
The weapon, right?
Based on Cortana, who exists as a countermeasure to kind of, like, trap Cortana and destroy her. And when she's destroyed, she's supposed to be deleted. That weapon AI is supposed to be deleted. But as of right now, at the beginning of Infinite, so far as we know, Cortana is missing. Nobody knows what the fuck happened. And so the AI is still here because she's not confirmed to be destroyed. They can't find her. They can't contain her. So this AI is just existing and just trying to figure out, like, all right, what do we do here? You know? Nobody knows what's happening with Cortana right now. I assume that'll be answered by the end of Infinite, but
I hope so.
Yeah. I would hope that they answer it. Like, I hope they don't, like, retcon or they don't ignore it, because as much as I didn't like it, I would like to see, like, what they do with it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's a story that you can't salvage. I think they just did a poor job telling it in the fifth game. Like, 5 is terrible because nothing really of substance. Like, things happen, but nothing interesting.
It feels
all set up.
It feels like, yeah, exactly. It feels like the middle movie of a trilogy. You know, you're getting all of this set up. Oh, we're going to do stuff. And then it ends before you get any sort of resolution, really. And then you're just kind of like, all right, well, next game, I guess. Like, when is that happening?
Load up the next one and start playing. Like, oh, whatever, I guess.
Like, I don't hate the story of 5. I don't hate the story of 4. But I also,
I hate Halo 4. I really don't like Halo 4.
I just
try to redeem it, and it makes me lose my mind. Everybody's like, Halo 4 is not quite that bad. And I'm like, bro.
I feel like that. So you had kind of like, during Halo 2 and 3, you were getting drip fed this lore at a pretty good rate. And then it's like they kind of like dialed it back in 4. So it seems like there's a lot going on, but there isn't. The actual story and lore that you're getting is minuscule, actually. And the playtime is the same, if not more, and you don't get as much out of it. Was it 4 that had... It had the extra thing with the other unnamed Spartans where your custom Spartan gets to be on the team and Palmer's giving you all these orders and stuff. That was Halo 4, right? And
Spartan Ops.
Spartan Ops. And that, Halo 4, yeah. That story didn't resolve either.
I don't remember Spartan Ops.
Spartan Ops was just this like kind of episodic campaign, like sub campaign that they had for Halo 4 when it came out. It was like every week there was like a new episode. It sucked. It was not good.
It was like for the first few weeks, a lot of the missions were basically the same. The story didn't go anywhere. And then after like a couple months, I want to say, the story actually started moving. And then they ended season 1 of Spartan Ops. And then there was no season 2 or like they didn't continue it. They just ended it. Spartan Ops was, I think, where you saw Halsey get her arm chopped off and abducted by the Sangheili. And then that was it. That was.
And they killed her.
Yeah, she killed that bitch. Should have brought her out back, put 2 in the chest.
I was so mad that Arbiter saved her. Arbiter's my favorite hero, and I was just like, favorite character. He wasn't a hero at first. He definitely wasn't a hero. I just wish he killed her. I was like, I wish Arbiter was like, look who I got, Chief. Cut her head off. What was it called? The Prophet's Bane? Just chopped her head off. And then Chief gives him a hug for it. That'd be the best moment. That'd be a good ending for Halo for me.
Yeah. And it is weird that they kind of show Chief's attachment to Halsey, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's that, sir.
But it's, I don't know. It's weird to me because I feel like some of these moments, these tender moments between Chief and other characters like Blue Team and Halsey, they don't feel earned. And that's the main complaint I have with the story, is that you haven't really gone through, in game, these things that would give Chief this fondness towards these other people. You basically go a whole trilogy with Chief making snarky comments whenever he decides to talk, only really relates to Cortana. And then we got this new trilogy, and suddenly he's got like human connections to a couple people who we've never seen on screen before.
And then it's the wrong people too, which makes me even more upset, because like him and Arbiter visibly have a connection with each other. They're like, they're very similar in like the way they hold themselves and like how they treat the people around them. And then like the end of 5 comes and he doesn't even say anything to Arbiter. He's just like, oh,
hey,
I'll talk to you in a book. And they brag about the fuck shit they did. Like, yo, man, like I was on the ring and like I fought a guardian. And Arbiter's like, yeah, man, I killed a few more prophets and I have this cool red sword. But they don't do that in a game. They do that in a book. And I'm like, why would you do that in a book?
Yeah, like that should have been on screen. But
that's half of the reason why I'm here, is their bromance. Like, that's why I'm attending this school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awkward. It's awkward to have game characters interact in a book and then book characters interact in a game. You know, like it's a very like, backwards way of doing it.
Like there's some things that if they were included in the games, it would feel better. Okay, so Chief had a childhood sweetheart. Did you know that?
What?
He had a girl that he was like, he was kind of sweet on when he was a kid. Let me look up her name real quick. It's some like regular as name.
Oh, she's in the Starry Night trailer, I think.
He had 2 friends that he hung out with a lot. There was Ellie and Katrina, but the girl that I'm talking about was in some other story. Lieutenant Parisa. And Parisa is a girl that he saved when he was a kid. And after he saved her, he told her that he was going to marry her so that he could protect her for the rest of their lives. 2 weeks later, he dies. You know, that's when he gets abducted, but everyone thinks he dies. And she's one of the only people who thinks that, you know, maybe he's still alive out there somewhere, or, you know, maybe there was something weird about it. And in this story, during the fight in New Mombasa, she's commanding one of the teams there because she's a lieutenant. And he meets her, but she doesn't recognize him, obviously, because armor and all this other shit. And he can't say anything to her because he is technically a government secret at that time. You know, he can't say shit to her, but he remembers her and he sees the photo of them together. And I'm like, this would be great in the game. I'm upset I had to learn about it through a Wikipedia article instead of the fucking game.
Classic Wikipedia article telling me everything I need to know about Master Chief. Classic.
Like it's things like that where you have like these moments that only seem to exist in the books, and then the games don't try and add something like that. They're like, oh, we'll build on that, but we're not going to tell you any of the beginning part. We're not going to give you any of that setup. We're just going to be like, oh, here's Kelly, here's Linda, here's Sam. Yeah, they're important.
That's it.
But why? Why are they important?
Remember them. Pay attention to these people.
Like, man, that's it. Halo 4 would have been a great opportunity for flashbacks to their brutal training as child soldiers. Like, that would have been... It would have only taken maybe two flashbacks of those kids getting fucked up in boot camp for you to develop a connection to them.
Getting fucked up and adults are viewing them through a mirror.
They don't really do it. So I should clarify, because in Halo Wars 2 they're on the Ark, and so the ring that Anders is on is actually the replacement ring. It's not Zeta Halo. It's the replacement for the ring that was destroyed in CE.
Oh, okay.
Which was like being built by the Ark in Halo 3, and you prematurely light that ring at the end of Halo 3, and so the Ark is fucked up, but it's still trying to build a new one,
spit out rings.
That's so fucking crazy. I forgot about that. I was looking it up and I found it because I was like, "What ring is she on?" Because I feel like I thought it might have been Zeta Halo because it would like thematically. I was like, "Oh, it's the Halo that's being focused on right now." But I was like, "That doesn't make sense because like wouldn't be at the Ark."
Yeah,
such a weird world, just an insane world that exists. That's just like that world is just. It was just there was a period of time where the world of Halo was just like kind of like our world, and then aliens showed up. Yeah, it just got really fucked so and then fast.
They invented the Shaw Fujikawa space engine thing, and then it was over.
Yeah,
so from that point on, you're like fucked.
Yeah, and it's. Yeah, it's the lore goes so crazy. It goes so wild. I try to restrict myself only to the human stuff whenever possible.
Because that's the best stuff is the alien shit, dude. It just gets a bun. Well,
the alien shit gets like Mass Effect level, like really intricate. Macro. And
The Covenant stuff is fine. But once you go back to Forerunners and Precursors, you're dealing with such large scales of power and like characters who are named but you never see. And I try to stick with like the human stuff, and I dabble in the Covenant stuff. Like, I want to know about the Arbiter. I want to know about the Shipmaster. I want to know that stuff, but I don't necessarily need to know, about all the Forerunners and Precursor stuff.
You don't need to know that Guilty Spark is still alive. Like, you don't need to know that.
Fuck that guy.
I love it. the fact that the company that bought Halo.
Well, they didn't buy it.
Well, the company that received Halo, received Halo
had it dumped in their lap,
named after
the betrayer,
the biggest piece of shit in the series. Just a piece of shit. Like every time when Guilty Sparks betrays you and kills Johnson, I remember yelling something at him that probably wasn't for a robot, but I was like, ah, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
you suck. I hate you.
It's a frustrating. That was a. It is a very weird. It kind of reminds me how like that the guy who runs Nintendo now is Doug Bowser. You know, where it's like, what? It's like what a fucking straight. Like it's even stranger though because they had to choose the name. You know, like it's Doug Bowser. It's like that's just his name. You know, like fucking. What are you gonna do? You're gonna ask him to change his name just because it looks a little funny? But like they made 343 Industries, and it's like that's the betrayer. Like, like he's literally like he just betrays all the time. That's not like an exaggeration. Like, I think there's literally a level in Combat Evolved called Two Betrayals, and it centers around him.
Yeah,
and he betrays you again in like 3.
Yeah. It's what a sour note to start your company off on. Like, oh, yeah, we just
hate him so much.
We're going to introduce our new sub company to run these games. We're calling it Benedict Arnold Industries. They're known for being, you know, upstanding individuals, completely honest.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Palpatine, and I'm really excited to take stewardship of the Star Wars franchise.
Hey, I'm Sephiroth. Nice to meet you. I'm not going to do anything crazy. It's like, yeah, you are. You are.
You're the guy. You are the
you're
guy.
You're the bad guy.
Yeah, but it is Guilty Spark sucks. I hate him. Yeah. I love him. I love him. I love him as a character because he's like his Tim Dabo does like a really great job with his performance, and like he is an entertaining character, but goddamn, what a piece of shit. And he's alive.
That's what makes it worse.
That's what makes it worse.
That just makes it so much worse. He's very alive.
All the story of him.
He's more alive than Chief should be right now. Isn't that crazy?
Even just his story is like way out of pocket too. Like he's like an ancient human that was like composed into some AI. It's like some crazy shit. Yeah, that character.
So when it comes to Chief, what would you guys pick as like your favorite? Your little a morsel, like when you think of Master Chief and you're like, oh, the wildest piece of lore that I know, or the coolest thing about him, like what jumps to mind immediately?
For me, it's probably his relationship with Arbiter, honestly.
So
the battle camaraderie they develop over just like killing droves and droves of this parasitic fungus.
Arbiter is kind of like the closest thing that the Covenant has to Master Chief. Which is funny because all of the Sangheili are at about the same level as Spartans, but he is at the same level as Master Chief, who, like, they're on their own tier. So
They're just both super terrifying to deal with.
There's a great I love how well that's shown in Halo 3, too. Like, especially if you play that game single player, like, there's a lot of, like, really, really great moments that you kind of pick up on, like even just like little like dialogue moments and like where he'll go and help you do this other thing, or like he'll go over to the other side of the map and do this thing. But like the biggest thing is in that Cortana level where it's like all flood and it's like an entirely like flooded up High Charity, I think is what it is you're trying to escape, and you're in the thralls of the flood. Like all these like parasites are surrounding you and they're like getting in your head, they're talking to you, it's fucking creepy as shit. And then Cortana's like, there's a friendly IFF tag, like who would be crazy enough to come in here? And then you round the corner and it's Arbiter with a flamethrower. it is so fucking that moment is like not, you could miss that moment entirely. Like I missed that moment for years before I saw it, and I was like, that is such an amazing way to convey like a connection between two characters that barely speak in a way that is very like poignant and powerful and not like pretentious. It's not like this long cutscene where they have like an exchange, you know. It's literally just in gameplay. It's like he's there.
Oh, you don't want to see them give each other the old Dutch rudder.
Just kind of start blowing each other. Everybody's like, "Whoa, this is Halo." You know.
So is that the moment for you then, Chris? Is when you're in High Charity and you turn the corner and Arbiter's there? Is that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great Arbiter Chief, but like specifically the one where they're back to back is like a really iconic.
Oh yeah, when like they just kill the Prophet, they just kill the Prophet, or they just
get there? And when they kill the Prophet and they do the back to they do the Army of Two thing. And then, like, the tentacles are around them. That is one of the most iconic shots I think I've ever seen in, like, any video game. Like, I thought about getting that tattooed in, like, some form. Like, it's such a cool fucking image.
So, for me...
But I wouldn't say that's necessarily, like, what I think of. Like, no. I think to me it's, like, the biggest thing about Chief is the fact that he's, like, this symbol. Like, he's this kind of... Like the fact that like he walks into a room and like he walks up to like a crowd of Marines and they're all like instantly
like in awe,
like inspired. And like they all like they're suddenly like, oh, we have hope. Oh, the Chief is here. Like we can win, you know, like it's that level of he's like a walking monument. Mm-hmm. And that's so fucking sick.
Yeah, it's
And
pretty cool. And he turns to him, he's like, I can win. You guys are most likely gonna die. And he runs off. He goes and does what he's gonna do.
When I was younger, I used to do like kind of like a mini game thing with myself where I would always play, you know, I don't like playing on legendary because I think it's a fucking chore. But I'll play on like heroic or something, and then I'll give myself the challenge of trying to get the Marines through the level. Like instead of just blazing through and killing everything I can. I'm like, okay, I met up with these five Marines. I want to try and get all five Marines to the end. You know, like wherever we part ways, I want to try and get to that point. and it's really fucking hard.
It is hard, but it's also like that's a whole gameplay mechanic that I think is like really underappreciated. Like I didn't pick up on that until like way later. But just like the thought of like, oh, I could get really good weapons and give them to my Marines.
Right?
It took a long time for me to even think about that because I'm thinking like, I want to use these cool weapons.
I would do this. Like, I do this, get down to the last shot in the sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And then hand it to the other guy and he's got unlimited ammo.
Yeah, but there's a whole build diversity team mechanic thing there that's like not even really like built into the game in any like real like Mass Effect way. Yeah. But like is there. Like you can find, you know, sniper rifles and rockets and hand them to your team, and then you have this rolling thunder of like you and these like hyper accurate Marines just mowing house.
Fucking up.
It turns out that Marines and ODSTs, if they're equipped with something more than a fucking assault rifle in the tank level,
they're useful.
They can actually do stuff.
It is really fucking cool.
So for me, my iconic chief moment is actually the one where he beats up all the ODSTs. But for the thing with him and Arbiter, I always think of like kind of when they first meet, not necessarily when they first meet, but when they're down there with the Gravemind. And one of the questions that the Sangheili always had for the Covenant, because the Covenant's policy was always when they come in, they offer the whole convert or die option. But when they met humanity, they didn't give that option. There was no convert. It was just eradicate them. And the Sangheili immediately objected. We're like, hey, that's not the protocol. That's not how we do things. And you know, the hierarchs were like, you know, shut up. You know, we think you fight. You know,
the great path and all that bullshit.
So, and they fall in line, but you can see how that doubt always lingers because when Chief and Arbiter meet with the Gravemind there, and as soon as Chief turns to him and says, hey man, like maybe cool off for a minute, let's hear what he has to say, we got a problem, you can see that doubt has an effect on Arbiter because he's like, all right, this motherfucker's talking instead of shooting, so I'm gonna give him a chance. I'm gonna hear him out and see what he has to say. And I always really like,
he's like, calm down or else we'll both get killed, seriously.
I have that
warm.
That's one of my favorite sequences in any of the games because it's like I love the writing and delivery and everything about that.
I'd rather not piss this thing off.
I'd rather not piss this thing off.
And he's like, oh shit.
I love it. That is a great moment too.
The other day on the Twitter account, I put up a prompt for questions. I figure most of these are going to get directed at Chris, right? And I also figured we'd get some wildly fucking crazy inappropriate ones, some just like insane ones. And I was not disappointed. So I'm gonna pick a couple of these questions, and we're gonna go insane. All right. So the first one was the one I joked about the other day, and then someone dropped the question in there. I'm trying to find. Okay, so Zombie Killer 101 asks, is it true that the suit jacks Chief off?
No.
Chief doesn't have a sex drive.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain.
He doesn't have a sex drive at all, so like he doesn't need to get jacked off.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever say that in any of the lore or anything, but it's kind of, there's like an implication that if you're a child soldier,
yeah,
they do unsavory things.
Yeah, I'm not
you to keep you focused.
I'm not really certain where that particular myth comes from.
I think it's just a meme. It's just like how do you shit in the suit? You know, it's like it's like a similar thing. It's like I don't think it came from anywhere. I think it's just like the suit. Does the suit jack him off?
Because I remember in one of the books they mentioned that it handles all of like their bodily needs. Like the suit attends to whatever they need. And I think maybe someone just read that and they were like, oh, so it jacks him off. Oh, that's cool. And it's like, well, how would that work for the female Spartans? Like,
yeah, doesn't exactly hold up.
Doesn't exactly translate, like, if you think about it at all. But you know,
but I made that joke when you were talking about like how his codpiece changes, like his dick armor changes from game to game. I'm like, oh, that's just the auto masturbator getting upgraded each time.
Yeah. It needs to remain modern. You know,
mm-hmm. you gotta keep it up to date.
You got to give him something while he's out there, you know?
Yeah, he's got something to be sad. He needs something to do, and you got to keep him going. Got to keep him looking forward to the next automatic spank session, you know?
The auto masturbator. I'm so upset.
Now, this next one, I'm pretty sure you guys got a question like this in a Snark Tank episode. Like, it sounds familiar to me.
Okay, read it up. Let me see.
If Master Chief... okay, hold on. This is from at Barbecue Squad. If Master Chief were to fight an infinite number of fifth graders, how many do you think he could take down?
All of them.
No, not infinite. Not infinite. He'd get exhausted eventually, but I'm guessing, like, I'm giving him, like, at least 100 fifth graders.
He would to the ground. He would be fine. He would just lock his armor and then just,
and then,
like,
go to sleep. And then sleep.
Yeah, he would, probably. And like, not, wake up. Dude, for real, like, he weighs way more than any of those fifth graders. Because you have to understand, like, it's not just 1,000 fifth graders' strength. Like, there's also, like, fifth graders take up mass. So they're only going to be able to fit a very limited amount of fifth graders underneath.
You could never have enough at one time.
You can never have enough fifth graders in one space to lift him up and do anything with him. Yeah. He's several tons, I'm fairly certain. Like,
he's a ton. He's like 1,000. He's like 2,000 pounds.
Yeah. Like, he weighs a stupid amount of. He's heavy. He's a heavy boy. Yeah. So thought of, like, you know, and he might just murder a bunch of them and then just realize it's futile. I'm gonna go to sleep.
Yeah.
The suit can clearly do that. Like, I know that, like, it's you know, there's cryopods for, like, long extended suspended animation. But there's some kind of implication, at least in Infinite, that, like, Chief can survive unconscious in space, mm-hmm. you know, for a while. Like, the suit does something. So, like, he could probably literally just go to sleep for, like, 3 days.
Yeah,
and then they're
say...
all starved to death. I feel like
they're like, all like tired and weak, and he just
that's a good point.
I'm not kidding. I think he would go to sleep until they just decided to turn on each other.
I was gonna say, eventually he would have to eat, but they would starve before him by far, and he has a suit that's doing the. But also, I mean, even if he took his helmet off. I think his base weight is like 260 pounds. So you're talking about a 260 pound super soldier, even out of his armor. I think he'd do fine for long enough.
Out of his armor, he's actually way faster.
Way faster. I think he would do fine long enough to be able to eat lunch and then slide the helmet back on and get back to work on some fifth graders. I don't think it would be a problem.
He'd take
all their Lunchables.
Imagine Chief eating a fifth grader. He's fighting off like 8 of them while he's trying to eat one. Them?
It's like that painting. It's like that painting of Kronos.
Just absolutely tearing the head off of one. He just eats the fifth graders as he goes.
And that's it, man. The Master Chief beats every fifth grader in existence. There's no more fifth graders. There's fourth and sixth graders.
He just keeps fighting until the end of his natural life, you know, because it's infinite fifth graders. So however many you can kill. I had another silly question here that I thought was pretty good before we get to some of the more, like, nuanced ones. All right, so... this one comes from Philip, or at Sane298. Which weapon, human or covenant, would be best for home defense?
Which what?
Which weapon, either human or covenant, would be best for home defense?
Energy sword.
Oh my god.
Easy. And Halo 2 energy sword. Solve every problem with a lunge. You're in my house.
Imagine someone breaking into, like, you're breaking into someone's house, and, like, you know they're home, but you're like, you're trying to get the drop on them, and then this sword just lights up in the night.
Like, that would no joke, I would cry and die. I would cry until like I look like a mummy. Like I would cry until I was absolutely dehydrated, no water in my body whatsoever. I would pass away. Like,
how the fuck did he get one of these? You know how long I've prayed for one of these? I prayed for this gun, and this guy just has it. He just has energy sword in his house, in his basement.
Yeah.
That's a crazy
His dad good. Got it in fucking Korea or some shit. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? How'd you get this?
I feel like, for real, honestly, real answer, probably a plasma pistol.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like just a plasma pistol by itself. Because I originally wanted to say, like, a gravity hammer, but that would destroy your whole house.
Yeah.
And the block.
It would definitely crumble your house. Like, you cannot. If you swung a gravity hammer in like a two-story apartment, I can't even fucking fathom the damage.
Oh, I just accidentally killed my own family.
You'd be downstairs in a basement. You'd be
downstairs, and people downstairs would probably have like they'd be like their brains would be like sliding down their throats. Probably like it's like that thing is no joke. But a plasma pistol, just because the fact that like one bolt will burn through you in such a way that is comically horrific,
and the shots are
fairly and the fact controlled. That you can charge shoot it and it homes, cracks you.
Yeah.
So if you have something like that, you shoot some guy in like the leg and their leg melts off. And they're like, fuck. And then they run outside. They're like crawling like speedily into the woods.
It's
You wait.
You gotta wait.
You gotta charge it.
I hear other voices over there. And you shoot it. And it gets all of them.
It doubles as like kind of a flashlight. Like there's like a lot of utility in the
and it's got the least amount of collateral damage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it
homes. Yeah, because
you're not going to bring like
using a needler on a real person.
That's the needler.
The mess that it would make.
Yeah, the needler is not a clean weapon.
Yeah, the needler is unnecessary. Like, you don't need to do that to a person.
That is one of the coolest weapons I think there's ever been fucking designed.
It's so morbid, though, but it's so cool. But it's such a fucking morbid creation.
I
look at this, guys. It shoots spikes into people that blow up.
I love the needler so much. It's so awesome.
It's a great weapon. It shoots crystals that, when enough of them are linked together, they cause a chain reaction and detonate. That is so fucking cool. It's ridiculous.
That's so gross.
I love that concept so much. I made a weapon ability for it in D&D like years ago, where if you landed a certain X number of shots in a round, you would get a super combine and get extra damage on it. That's how much I love that concept. Just exploding ammunition in your body. But yeah, I think energy pistol for home defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what's cool about the I always wondered like what would happen if you meleeed somebody, if you hit somebody with the needle end of the needler. I feel like it should blow up. But
it really
should. No, I think the gun probably neutralizes the charge.
That's probably true.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Imagine if the charge exists. That would make sense.
Imagine the charge exists, you pick up a needler, it blows up.
You do have a point. Right. And the needler also homes, by the way.
Yeah, it does. Actually, pretty much everything energy homes.
Kind of, yeah.
Does it hone onto your like your magnetic field?
I think that's kind of the idea.
Do you remember the triple needler trick from Halo 2?
No.
So so you can still kind of do it, but it's not like the same thing. So what you would do is you would go. Usually, you have to do it on like Beaver Creek. Two needlers on one side, two needlers on the other side. You would go with like your SMG, you would pick up a needler, you would then like pick up a needler as your alt weapon, you would switch, somehow you could be holding three needlers by doing this little like shell game of like, I picked this up, and you would get the ammunition for all three needlers instead of like for the two needlers. But when people first started doing it, it would actually do a thing where it wouldn't just give you the ammunition for three needlers. You would fire all three needlers at once. So you would have a single focused stream of three needlers worth of ammunition, and it would all home. You would only have That's to tap so the buttons, terrible. And you could take That's someone crazy. Out. Just brap.
I don't. Brap. I don't remember that at all because like that was not a competitive thing because like, it was too ridiculous. Like the needler was useless in yeah. competitive.
In competitive, it was absolutely useless. They I want to say they patched out the three needlers shooting with the first map pack, but you were still able to equip three needlers for a while. But you know, once you got into competitive play, there was no reason to have three needlers.
A needler, yeah,
yeah, or even one needler, like. I'd pick it up and everyone would be like, you're such an asshole for trying to, you're dragging the team down by holding a needler. Why? So, all right, let's see here. Let's get some more serious questions now that we've done some of the, all right. So we were kind of discussing this one earlier. This one comes from, at Iron Pond. Should other Spartans be used more in Halo games or should they only ever have Master Chief? I feel like they could or should, even though Halo 5's story sucked.
They totally should. They should totally use it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think Jerome is awesome. I think like Jerome is the Spartan 2 in Halo Wars 2 that you mainly commented. He's the one who jumps out of that Covenant ship after it's cut in half by the fucking the Foreigner Sentinels. By the way, Halo Wars 2, awesome cutscenes. Like, I would recommend, like, even if you don't play that game, like, watch the story, because it's awesome. It really is fucking incredible shit. I think Jerome would be awesome. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, I think I would want to see stuff outside of Spartans in general. Like, I would like another ODST game. Like, I would give me, like, a tactics game to introduce Blue Team. Like, something like that. Like, I feel like there's so many...
Ooh, a tactics routes. Game. Ooh.
Yeah. Like, Ooh. A Halo tactics game around, like, Blue Team's early assignments. I think that'd be sick as shit. I think you could have, like, a Flood horror game where you're just, like, a nameless Marine and you're on this fucking, like, I think it's, like, the heart of the Midlothian or something. And you have to, like, deal with, like, a Flood outbreak as just, like, a standard person. There's endless ways that you could make Halo games without Master Chief. I don't think you need Master Chief to have a successful Halo game. We had Halo Reach, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And we had ODST, and that was awesome. Like, we had Wars and Wars 2. I just think, you know, I think this should be the last Master Chief.
And we should deal with some other Spartans or other characters in general.
I would say it would be great, but that doesn't sell, you know? That doesn't get...
I think it does, man.
If you tie the character to Master Chief, you might be able to get away with it. Like, you might be able to get someone. But I don't know. Like, I think back to, like, Dragon Ball Z and how they tried to pass the baton from Goku off to Gohan and how it absolutely fucking failed. And I'm like, are we just doomed to have Master Chief as Goku for the rest of our lives? Like,
I don't think so. I think, you know why? I think they're too nervous to... constantly try to do this character perfect justice in the near, you know, like that's a big deal. Like, you don't want to fuck up Master Chief, and you don't want to have to stress about fucking up Master Chief every 3 years. You know, like that's not something that anybody wants to deal with. So I think people would be more than fine having this story be like a wrap up. I don't think you want to kill him. Like, I don't think you want that. Like, nobody.
Oh,
2020 was a rough time. I don't think you need Master Chief to die, right?
Imagine being the only Spartan to retire.
Long enough to retire, could you imagine?
Like, at the end of the whole thing, Lasky walks up, everything's done, Master Chief's like, now what? And Lasky's like, dude, go live your life.
Go home, man.
Go get a cottage in the woods, man. Go live.
You know, this might be controversial. I don't know. I really like the way they handled Marcus Fenix in the new Gears of War games, where he's just this like grizzled fucking guy, and he's like, I've seen shit, and I'm fucking done. But that's like, I wouldn't want Chief to be like some grizzled asshole. But like at the same time, like I wouldn't mind seeing like people like Spartan Jerome fleshed out a little bit more, because you know, these are really cool characters. They have different personalities. They have different strengths.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, Master Chief and Cortana is classic Halo. That's like Mario and fucking Yoshi and Luigi and shit. Like, you're not going to get a better combination necessarily. But why not try something like a Sunshine or like a Galaxy or like an Odyssey? Or why not try like a Breath of the Wild type deal? Like, they kind of are.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I think Halo is a very flexible game, I think. I really do think, like, I an RTS worked twice, okay? There's no reason you can't do a tactics game. There's no reason why you can't do a single-player horror game. There's no reason why you can't do, like, any number of things. It's a really rich sci-fi universe, and I think plenty of characters could...
I'd love to see something with some sort of, like, mixed unit. So, like, a story that's like, oh, here's a Marine, here's an ODST, here's a Spartan, maybe
you
without...
See that a lot. You see that a lot in the books, like a lot of like mixed squads. Dude, give me an Arbiter campaign.
It's just Arbiter only going in and like trying to like settle all the disputes existing within the Covenant and stuff. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty sweet.
So fucking sick. Like I think they're actually planning on having multiple campaigns for Infinite. Like that was like a leak that happened where like if you go into the files of Halo Infinite, it says multiplayer and campaigns with an S. Implying that there are going to be future campaigns, and it's already been kind of confirmed that Joseph Staten, the Bungie, you know, the ex-Bungie guy who came onto Halo Infinite as the lead director in the last year, is like wrote the DLC, which is stupid exciting.
Now imagine this: they get Arbiter back, they do all that, but. He's not voiced by Keith David.
No. Don't do that.
Rather kill the character.
I'd rather you kill him, yeah.
Have him go out swinging, but I'd rather the character be dead.
I would have a serious... I'd have a moment where I'd be on top of a roof with a gun. Like, I'd be, like, screaming, losing my mind, popping off shots into the horizon.
Just they changed his voice. They added Arbiter to Killer Instinct, and it wasn't Keith David, and I uninstalled the game.
What, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It wasn't Keith David. It was another Arbiter.
I didn't even know he was in there. It was just like a different Arbiter, not the same Arbiter. Or
yeah, it was supposed to. Be, it was the idea was that it was supposed to be just like an amalgamation of yeah. Lame. It's dumb.
All right. So on a similar topic here, Commander 5 asks if we're going to get a nice or as nice as we can hope for wrap up to Chief's story. What would you want it to be? There's probably no perfect way to cap off such a long-running thing, but it has to end sometime. So how would you end Master Chief's story?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I would end it the way it started, because that was the perfect ending for Halo 3 at the time. The perfect ending for Halo 3 at the time was he goes back to sleep. It was perfect. There was nothing at all wrong with it. It was tonally, like... absolutely 100% just what it needed to be, because he is this symbol. Like, he is a symbol more than he is a character, and I know that he has character and I like his character, but he is this kind of like Superman figure to a lot of people. He is this kind of character that, like, he walks into a room and suddenly everybody believes they're going to make it out okay, even if they won't.
They believe it.
But they believe it and they fight for it. And that's fucking sick and cool. And I don't know if you want to have a game like Halo Infinite or like a cap off to that series that ends in like some dire, edgy, like fucking like, ooh, the hero's dead. What are we going to do now? They kind of fucking tried that with Halo 5. That was the whole thing with Halo 5 was like, Chief's a traitor. And it's like, the fuck you talking about?
Yeah.
Who would actually believe that? That's such a dumb thing.
Yeah,
it's
no one
a
would.
Neat idea, but there's no way it works in the Halo universe. And in fact, I would actually recommend a lot of people listen to the first season of Hunt the Truth, which is like this like marketing thing they did for Halo 5. It's an audio drama and it's awesome because it just deals with like Oni and like all that shit. But like they tried, and that's actually good like story shit too. But I don't know, man. It just doesn't work. Like, he's a simple character. Imagine if you played a Mario game and it's like, Mario's a pedophile. And you're like, what?
Those are not the same. Those are not the same. But I understand what you mean.
You understand what I mean. It would be a bit fucking strange, wouldn't
it's a
it?
A bit much.
If Mario's a fucking pedophile. If fucking Luigi's a son, fucking drug trafficker.
No, but he's not.
He works for the cartels.
But it's like the same style of game. It's not even like he is a pedophile. It's just like, hey, the story of this game is Mario's being accused of being a pedophile, but he's not. Go prove he's not. It's like, the fuck?
Why?
I'm playing Mario.
Why do we
like,
gotta prove that?
At a certain point, there's a hopefulness to Halo in a really weird way that I don't think has really been captured in 343's games, because it's always been like this this thing about like trying to bring in the expanded universe, bring, make it like murky and gray and morally like complicated, and it is, but it does, that's not like the heart of it. Like Halo 1, 2 and 2 and 3, it's all about like fucking perseverance. It's all about like there's this alien who's like losing his religion, and it's literally this fucking
and it's
like the insurmountable odds of that, of like being like you're chosen as the like the person who's supposed to single-handedly get this religion to fulfill its promise, and you get turned against it and somehow have to win. You're a super soldier who constantly finds himself in the luckiest situations you could possibly hope to have.
You're also, you know? Like, you're completely devoid of normal human experience, and yet you are the hope for all of humanity.
And even the darkest, and even the darkest parts of it are, like weirdly, like, poetic. You know, like, the grave mind speaks to you in these, like, riddles and shit. And it's all, like, it's all fairly light, despite the fact that it's dealing with, like, really intense things under the hood. And I feel like that's the tone that you want to go for when you're capping off a story like this.
I feel like you make a pretty good case for that. Like, if going to what we were saying before about other following other stories, if at the end of this one, they're just like, he goes back to sleep and does the whole wake me when you need me thing, then you get to tell some other stories. And then down the line, if you want someone to go wake up Master Chief, like, oh, let's go get him. Let's get him out of the icebox or something like that. Or even if he retired, like what I was saying earlier, you still leave the door open, like, come get me when you need me, you know?
Well, the thing that I would hope that they would go for is, my hope anyway, is how I would personally end it. Because these voice actors aren't going to be around forever. I don't think they're replaceable. They tried twice to do that, and it does not work. Mm-hmm. Master Chief can't just be Steve Bloom, you know? He'd do a great job, but that's not him. You know, Jen Taylor is the only person who can do Cortana. You can't do those characters without those people. Mm-hmm. And there's a shelf life on that. So I would hope that the goal is that by the end of Infinite, there is some kind of message of, there's a wake me when you need me. But there's the idea that's conveyed to the player and the audience and to the universe at large that maybe you don't need him.
That makes sense.
And maybe that is the best thing.
I feel,
you know, is that maybe, like, not that he's like useless or not that he doesn't actually like play a big role in like actually solving the problems, but the idea that like he inspires so many people that like him having done all he's done is good enough to ensure that everything is safe, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that would be like a really nice way to end it. I think it'd be like tonally consistent. I think it's the way that I would like to see it go. But, you know, who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
We have 1 month before this game comes out.
I really hope that 343 is listening to this podcast when it comes out and they're taking notes.
Yeah. People have different like, some people want him to die. And I'm like, I don't think that's.
I wouldn't want him to die. That's a bit much.
Yeah,
I just want him to go away forever.
Just go over there, and we'll keep doing our thing. But you,
because I like
there.
The idea.
We'll see you later.
Because I like the idea. Because I like the idea of like maybe like characters being like, maybe we should get the Master Chief. And it's like, is he even? Like, you don't even know. Like, is he even alive? Is he like, where is he? Like, we don't. Like, almost like he becomes that legend.
Yeah,
that people really think he is, like, the idea that like in 200 years time, when he's clearly dead, people will still be like, do you think he's out there?
Do you think he's out there kicking ass right now?
That is like almost like how the ending of Dragon Ball Z originally was supposed to go, where like Goku and Vegeta just fight in space until like they just fucking presumably like one of them loses or they both lose or whatever the fuck. I thought that ending for Dragon Ball Z was sick. Mm. I loved it. And that was where that series ended for me. It was like, I just kind of, that's my headcanon of just like, that's how those stories ended. Like GT, fucking Super, fuck that shit.
Fuck GT, man. I like Super, but Super has
Super is very stupid.
It's a very different tone. I also like, I read the manga, and the manga itself has a different tone from the anime. And it does. I don't know. But it's also very modern shonen, and it doesn't quite, I don't know. It's a totally other subject. I guess we could have you on for an episode of Dragon Ball Z or something. But tied to what we were talking about, as far as, you know, him being the symbol of hope, how he affects people when they walk in. This guy here, Call Me Krusty, Big Papa Krusty, asks, do you think the pilot will die in Infinite?
Probably. He's a human.
I hope not.
He's a human. He's gonna die. He's,
nah, but he's
Chris,
like
he's
him.
Dead. Chris, he's fucking dead. He's dead as a he's dead as the day is long, bro. He's fucking gone, dude. He's gonna die of some bullshit too. He's gonna be like,
I think characters will die. I don't know if the pilot will die.
Yeah. I mean they went through
Arbiter doesn't die.
They went through a fair amount of time to give him a good model, a very distinct character, roles in like all of the early stuff. Do you think they would just like 20 minutes in off this dude?
He's fucking dust, bro. He's fucking very dead, dude. I can feel it.
Should we start a Deadpool on how he's gonna go? Just like a random,
some really
random,
some
grunt
really
fire.
Rancid way, dude. Like some fucking like a branch is gonna fly through one of the fucking windows and kill him. He's gonna be like, God damn, dude.
Oh my god, it's gonna be like fucking Serenity.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yes.
I don't. Man, he probably will die. Fuck, I'm like thinking about it because he's like the pilot, and like the pilot always dies.
If they
the
make
pilot literally, the pilot literally has never survived in any Halo game ever. Like they always die in a crash landing, or like specifically like this new pilot. Like he gives me like people were calling him Brohammer, like when he was first announced because like he literally just seems to support the Fohammer role from like Halo Combat Evolved, and she gets fucking.
She gets destroyed, yeah. And then as soon as Carter takes control of the Pelican and Reach, he's like, no, I'm done. That's how you know he's going to die. He's like, I'm driving a Pelican. I'm going to die. So I wonder if...
You're trying to get away from the problem when you get killed. I love it.
Man, I would never want to pilot a Pelican. Ever.
It's like the moment you realize you're wearing a red shirt, you know?
Yeah. All right. So I think we got that question. We got that question. I want to do one that's a little more light for our last question here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this person is trying to troll us on this. I don't know if this is something that's been asked before. But this person, Hershey Herbs. Do you agree that griffball is the most underrated aspect of any game and should be prioritized more and be allowed to bloom into the best Halo game type that there ever will be?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, so this is to troll you? Is that what
no,
this is
I just
for?
Like it's just like no one could possibly have that opinion. Like no griffball's fine. Griffball is like entertaining. It's interesting. It's like cool that you can make that, but like nobody cares.
I thought this was like something that maybe someone in one of your streams was bugging you about, like something
about
griffball because it's such a weirdly detailed question because it goes on beyond that, but it's still just you know kind of a you know jacket off about griffball. It's weird.
No griffball. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never said anything about griffball.
Okay.
I've never even mentioned griffball. I've made, like, several, like, 20-minute Halo videos. I've never mentioned griffball. Like, never, not once.
This must have been one of the assholes at Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, maybe.
Let me look at this account real quick. All right.
I don't even think it's bad. It's just like such a, I don't know, it's there. It's
fine.
Cool.
It exists.
Yeah. It's just a
griffball's fine. Good job.
It's kinda like the zombies game type. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah, like well people love that for some reason. Like
zombies is fanatics.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
It's okay.
I'd rather just play Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, the zombie game type is like it's fun on paper, but you do like a game or two of it and you're like, eh. I'm done with this.
Are you talking about like in Halo specifically?
Yeah.
Infection.
Yeah, Infection. Sorry.
Infection.
Right. Yeah.
The zombies I thought Call of Duty zombies.
Yeah. And
you guys don't love Infection in Halo 4? The fucking sounds they make, the fucking water, for me when I was first a little kid and I heard it, I was like they sound like horses underwater with popcorn. Because the Halo 4 Invasion, they sound insane. Like it's so wild.
I hate that's the worst infection though.
It's like, the worst one, but it's fun.
Because they did this weird curious, they did this fucking stupid thing where they were like, hey, you know how Infection's all about like really customizable experiences and how you can have the zombie spawn in whichever way you want? What if we made it so they could only spawn with a sword and that's it?
Yeah.
And it's like, you missed the entire point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. But it was fun. I like the sounds they made. Like, look up. Like, Google the sounds they make, Ren. You're going to be like, what the fuck?
The Halo 4 flood sound effect is disgusting. I'll give you that. It really is fucking horrifying.
Oh, man.
Like, you're going to be like, whoa.
I'm curious now. I'm curious. All right. So we've gotten through all our questions. We ended on kind of the lame griffball question. But
have you taken a moment to try out griffball?
Sir, have you decided to convert to griffball? Have you really thought about converting to our ways? I used to know some people actually who were all about like, oh, let's play griffball. And I was like, dude, I can play some griffball. Like, they had a playlist for it in, I want to say, Halo 3.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And it was fun, but I, you know, you get over it pretty quickly. And the problem with griffball is that it kind of throws you off for any other game type, because you get that mentality of like, oh, I have to get in super close to do this thing. And then you get into our normal game and somebody shoots you and you're like, whoa, why does he have a gun? Why does this guy got a gun? Using
guns? Come on, man.
Come on, man. Use your hammer. Come on. All right. So I think, you know, we've actually gotten a lot out of this episode compared to other episodes we've had. So I think we're going to have to chain Chris to the radiator and just throw him on camera every time we want to do, you know, an episode, and we'll get plenty of content in no time. What do you think, Sween? Sound good to you?
I mean, throw him in a dungeon, set him on fire, break his knees, turn his spine into stew. I'm down.
just put a microphone up to him every time we need to go. Come on, do influencer stuff, do YouTube maybe stuff.
Maybe if there's a Destiny one, I'll jump on.
That'd be dope.
I actually am very interested in trying Destiny, but it's very intimidating for me.
Oh, yes.
Because Destiny of how much there
as a
is.
Game, Destiny as a game is not a great place. It's not a good place to jump in right now, in my opinion. But
no.
Maybe
lore-wise, it's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Like, in a month, wise, to jump really in, because that's when, like, when a new DLC comes in, you jump. It's a lot, dude. Like, I've played hours and hours of Destiny, and there are still moments where I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, so maybe a Destiny one, maybe if we want to spank it to Dragon Ball Z for a little while. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. We got a couple other people too who have been really interested in coming back on too. Donovan was on the last one. I really liked having Donovan.
What'd you guys do?
We did a one on Michael Myers for Halloween.
Oh, that's fun.
Donovan is deceptively nerdy. You'll never know how much of a geek Donovan is.
Yeah.
Because he'll hide it and all his heart making fun of everybody else.
Yeah.
But he is a nerd. Like, me and him had like a whole 30-minute conversation about the newest Digimon movie.
when I asked him what he wanted to do, he's like, I want to do something on horror. And I was like, all right, man, okay, Halloween, that's perfect. We'll do something on horror. Go. Yeah. So, all right. Sween, you wanna take us out?
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to yet another episode of Legends and Lore. Thank you, Chris, for tuning in, stopping by, saying what's up. Thank you again for all of the views. Don't forget to drop a like, a follow. That's always amazing. And we will see you guys on the next episode.